Welcome back for part two of our talk with Tipa on all things Tipa Snow.
Yeah, welcome back, podcast family.
You're just ad-libbing. I know. I was like, it's long, so we're going to make it a two.
Good idea.
Good job, cool. Curry.
Nice job. Them.
Hey, Tipa, you had me on a couple times on what you call courageous conversations.
Courageous conversations, yeah.
Can you tell our listeners, again, how to find that and a little bit about it?
Yeah. So on our website, if you go, you can either just look up, you can search and go courageous conversations. It will show you all the courageous conversations we've had. It is also available on the Living with Dementia portion of our website. If you click I'm Living with Dementia, or if you're a care partner and you're interested, you can go there and you'll link. So we have links to it. It's conversations we've had with people in a whole variety of situations. Everything from I'm living with Lewy body and I'm having a lot of hallucinations and what do you do about that, to my mom's dying and I don't know how to cope with this. So, I mean, it sometimes it's family members, sometimes it's professionals, but a lot of the time it's people living with, or a paired group where people living with dementia and their partner are part of it as well. Because we're curious about what courage it takes to do this. And we believe that people have to show a lot of courage to figure out how to live well and thrive in moments, at least, when you're struggling with this thing called dementia. And it takes a huge amount of courage to get up each day and do the day and ask the question and go find out and respond when all you want to do is just hide and pretend like it's not happening. It takes a lot of courage.
Yeah, it's great. I appreciate you had Curry on, because I try to emphasize as much as I can on the podcast recordings that, you know, Curry has Lewy body, but yet look at him. He's doing, he does a podcast. He's been trying to twist my arm to do a YouTube. I'm like, then I'd have to actually not just roll out of bed. And
yes, there's that visual element that goes to it.
I'm like, thankfully people can't see me because I just rolled out of bed and I brushed my teeth, but that's all you got. But it's you know, just because you get diagnosed doesn't mean it's the end of the world, because he's in three support groups a week. You know, he's doing the podcast. He's
making a difference. Living with purpose is so vital.
Exactly.
It's such an important, finding moments of joy and living with purpose, man. It is huge. And when you fall down, getting back up. I mean, it's just such hard work.
I love that. I'm going to use that title, Living with Purpose. Because I really do believe this was your calling, Curry. And although when I visited him again in November, I think it was, and he proceeded to tell me that he thought I was some crazy woman when I sent a message to him asking him for his phone number because I had an idea. And I'm like, what?
All of a sudden, you know, this lady sent me a message wanting my phone number so she can call me. I thought she was some good.
Oh, you know, yeah. I will say on Facebook, I get lots of invites, and it's like, and then I'll get this message, I saw your profile. And it's like, did you check that I'm the age I am and I'm married and I have kids?
Wait. Did you think I was going to hit on you?
No, I just thought you were some kooky.
Well, I think it was something in my defense. It was like, hey, I'm following your page. I have this great idea. Can you send me your number?
Yeah. I think you were right, Curry. I think you were right to be worried.
Wait, before or now that you've met me?
It was just before. Now we're fine. Now we're good.
when I was
an idea. I was like, uh-oh, watch out for those.
Well, when we were, I know I shared this before. When that time I visited him for the first time, I was sitting next to him in the chair next to him, and he posted something like funny about me on Facebook, like funny, bad, funny, haha. And I was like, you do know I'm sitting right next to you, that I could punch you in your head, right?
She did threaten that.
Yeah. Yeah, you kept posting anyway, huh?
Yeah, I did.
Yes, he did. And I'm like, oh my God.
He's a risk taker.
And I had a medical emergency while I was at his house last time. Yeah. And I left my Reese's peanut butter cups there. And I came back and I look, and on the floor was an empty bag. He ate.
They were good.
And did you claim that you don't know what happened to him or the dog?
No. He owned right up to it. He's like, yeah, they were good.
Yeah, they was.
I want to punch him then too. He's like my big brother. It's,
well, I didn't know she was going
to
live.
You know better than to leave any of those lying around free for any length of time. You don't keep those in your hand, they're gone.
We need Reese's as a sponsor.
In my defense, I didn't think she was going to live. So I didn't think she would miss
him. Oh, my God.
He was insuring you came back.
But you know what?
This is how that works. He was buying you some insurance. Sure enough, when you came back, you'd be furious. So there you go. Yeah, so he was trying to help you out, give you a reason to live. Purpose.
As scary as that sounds, he was right. There was a touch and go moment there. So
it was bad.
Still, yeah. I said we should get Reese's as a sponsor so I can get a bunch of Reese's.
Right.
Brought you back from the edge.
I'm just saying, because we've talked about the Reese's a couple of times now. We don't have sponsors for the podcast. We just have our people who reach out. Anyway, so tell me, Facebook, tell us your Facebook page. And do you have two different web pages? Is it just PAC or do you have also Living with Purpose?
It's just tipasnow.com. We try to keep it simple. And then we have lots of pages that come off of that. Right. So you go to our main page and then you'll go to various places wherever you want to be. And you can always, check in with us if you get lost. Because we do have chat. We also have people who keep up with anything you might actually need. We try to have response pretty quick. The Facebook page is tipasnow.com also. That's our Facebook page. We have a LinkedIn program. We also have a YouTube channel, which we've gotten sort of that upper tier. We have over 100,000 viewers.
Wow.
When you get on YouTube, you can start building your audience there.
Yeah. Don't give them any...
We have TikTok.
You were here,
too.
I'd be smacking you too.
I'm going to smack down to 2 to 3 minutes on TikTok.
I've seen Tipa dance on TikTok.
Oh, boy, that's an experience. That's my daughter leading that effort.
Yeah.
And then we have, we started working with Rune, which is an app that allows people to ask questions. And so it's kind of a wonderful new app that we're starting to do some things with.
It started by
neurosurgeons and medical providers who really wanted to provide people with better information they were getting on the internet just out of the blue, and they weren't getting it from their doctors either. And so these guys said, well, we want to go get that and make it available to people. And it's right now it's free. It's Rune. It's only on Apple, on the iPhones.
How do you spell that?
R-O-O-N.
R-O-O-N?
Yeah, and it has people living with dementia on it. It has me. It has lots of providers on there. It has partners, people who are living with people living with various forms of dementia. And it's 2-minute clips. It's like somewhere around 2 to 3 minute clips. And some of them, like if you ask it a question, it will tell you some clips to take a look at and see if they're helpful to you. And as you use it, it actually figures that they have it for ALS, they have it for dementia, and they have it for a certain kind of cancer. And they feel like they're actually testing it out to see how it helps. Can they get people to use this kind of information to help them live life and get information that they need rather than things that are floating around out there that may not be as well organized? And they have.
Is it... similar to YouTube Shorts, because I know YouTube now.
It's like YouTube Shorts. It's similar to that. It's actually an app. So when you you bring it up, it will do all kinds of things. It's kind of fun. They just really kicked it off. Yeah. And it's been recognized. So it's going to be an interesting thing to see where it goes.
That's great because it's,
yeah.
I mean, I talked about that later on, Curry, but he once in a while would do a little TikTok videos, right? Or what was it, TikTok or Instagram? I think it was TikTok.
Instagram. TikTok. Oh, yeah, there's Instagram too, I guess. Yeah. Social media. Apparently, we're on it.
Yeah. He used to do it with his goats in the background, didn't you, Curry? Yeah.
Oh, I did several of them with my goats.
Yeah.
Yeah. We are even on Pinterest, which is, how does this happen?
that's a pretty big it's probably right behind YouTube.
Yep.
You know, because YouTube is just blown up. And,
yeah, as people are, you know, looking for ways to get their info because mm-hmm. you sure can't find it where you traditionally might have looked for it.
Yeah. So what all do you provide on YouTube?
Well, so we have things categorized now. So they have interviews, they have things I've done with people living with dementia. They have content areas where people can go and say, I need help with bathing. So you can put in bathing and videos will pop up. There'll be a list of videos that you can look at. There's all kinds of free content. And then we have a channel that you can sign up for and do more with that's more in depth where you can watch whole webinars and do all that. And then we have the shorter little clips that are quicker and you can just come and do quick stuff, which are more the quicks.
Mm-hmm. The other ones that once you do the short ones, then you want more information, you can go to the long ones.
Exactly. If you're really interested, and I mean, it's a real low cost thing. It's not like we're trying mm-hmm. to really make a lot of money on it. It's just sort of to help pay for everything that it takes to do those. Because we have somebody who actually creates the video clips and creates and runs everything. And
right.
And then we have our, the other thing we have every week is a podcast. So we have that on Fridays, which is me answering questions that Greg Phelps comes up with. He's a guy from Canada. So sort of like you, Linda, he comes up with questions that I'm supposed to respond to. So, and I never know what they're going to be till he asks them.
Good. Yeah, that's well, usually I send ours ahead of time, but it was this morning. Yeah. I'm like, Kyrie sent me these things that he wants to talk about. I probably should put something together real quick. So I jumped up and did it. YouTube channel is called?
It's deepestsnow.com. Yeah, okay, everything so is deepestsnow. We try to keep it deepestsnow because it's such a weird name. Once people get it, it's sort of like, okay.
Yeah, that's smart that you kept, you know.
Makes it a little easier to go find things. If you just get that one thing, you can go and you'll find it all pretty much one way or the other.
Tipa, I have watched you and Matthew and everything and you all, you're always talking about your gyms, different gyms. I never have really understood that. Can you touch base or go over that with me?
The system that was around when I first started, this is a long time ago, they had early dementia, mid-state dementia, and late-state dementia. And when they talked about it, it'd be like, well, with early state dementia, you're going to have to take over their finances. They're going to be making bad choices. You're going to have to keep an eye on them. You're going to have to take the car keys. You're going to need to do this. I mean, it was all based on taking away, not being able. So they can still live alone as long as you keep an eye on them. And you have to be watching. And then in middle dementia, you're going to have to be there every day because they don't do things like they won't take showers and they're not going to take care of themselves. So you're going to have to be there. And, you know, and so it was a lot of bossing around. And then late state, well, it's just you're going to have to do everything because they're either going to be bed bound or chair bound. Or if they don't, they'll just fall and they're losing weight. You know, it's all this misery kind of talk. And it was meant to, quote unquote, help carers better understand who they were taking care of. And it was like, doesn't sound good to me. And then a little later, a physician came up with what was called Global Deterioration Scale, which is a 7-point scale of deterioration, how your brain's going to die. And at the time in the 1990s, what was going on was he only looked at Alzheimer's. This was a physician up in the Boston area, and he was only looking at Alzheimer's. And so he came up with this scale. And if you had hallucinations, boy, you were pretty far in the ditch. And it was like, wait a minute, but that's a primary symptom for some people. It happens early. It doesn't mean you're in the ditch. It means you have hallucinations. Well, you know, it's psychosis. And it's like, well, it's just sort of a symptom. Well, if you don't sleep, if you're having trouble with sleeping, and as long as you know your partner's name, you only have mild dementia. And it's like, I could know my partner's name and have a lot of changes in my brain. So global deterioration didn't work for me because it always talks about what can't people do and not what can they do. So a system that I knew about from occupational therapy was called cognitive disabilities. And it was a 6-point scale. And it said, well, here's what people still can do in these categories. However, they said, well, once you're here, you stay here. And it's like, well, here's the reality with dementia. You can go here this morning, by this afternoon, you're over there, and then back this evening, you're way down here. But then come tomorrow morning, you might be right up there at the top again. And it could be that your ability to understand language is real impaired, but your vision is actually pretty good. And you could hold on to visual, but not the language stuff, because each dementia is so unique. So I said, we got to find a way to talk about people like they're valuable and not just missing pieces. And we've got to find a way to talk about what's the right support and what's the right care so those people can do really well. And it wasn't going to be by talking about moderately severe dementia and loss and all that. It was going to be by creating language that made it sound better. So I said, well, if you're sapphire, you're true blue. If you're diamond, you're rigid and a little inflexible. If you're emerald, you're on the go, but there are errors frequently in your process. If you're in an amber state, it's all about the sensation. If you like it, you want more of it. If you don't like it, you're done. That's it. If you are in a ruby state, you don't have fine motor skill, but you're strong. When you're in a direction, you have a hard time stopping. And when you're stopped, you'll have a hard time going. And when you're in a pearl, you're trapped inside a shell. And you're absolutely beautiful, but reflexes rule. And we got to be real careful, because otherwise you won't want to come out of that shell. And then we started going, well, you know what? It's not just about dementia. When I sleep, I'm in a pearl state. When I'm exhausted and I'm tired, I'm more like a ruby. When I don't like how something tastes or feels, ooh, man, I'm more amber-like. When I am driving in the car and I sort of like, oh, shit, I just missed my exit. So I said emerald. And then we're like, what do you mean I have to change? I'm fine. That's my diamond. And when I'm like, how can I help you? I'd be happy to do whatever is needed. That's when I'm sapphire.
Okay.
So that's what it's about.
Yeah.
Is trying to find language that is not so friggin' offensive to people. And trying to talk about people as though they have value.
Yeah. I'm gonna apologize for my dog, Curry, before you yell at me.
We didn't hear it.
Oh, you didn't?
No, nope.
It's crazy.
Your son won't like it, but we didn't hear it at all.
Sorry, Andrew. I usually send when I'm like, everything's uploaded for you, and then I send my apology. Sorry, this, that, and the other thing. Fix it for us. So, Tipa, Curry was talking to me, telling me that you have a new training facility. So congrats on that. What will be done at your new facility? Is that just for more conferences?
It's for every time we run a certification course, but it's actually every week we offer Brain Connection Cafes. We offer respite for folks. We offer a place for people to come and do some art projects, to do some, to work with us on some activities, dancing, music. We have folks who come in and do some training programs of their own. We have folks come and spend time learning. So we run some skills programs for care partners and people living with. We also have the building. Every time we run a cert course, people are here. And every time we do something in town where we think we can be helpful and house it here, we invite people in, whether from other programs, other things that they're doing, we invite people into our space because it's a really nice big space that we renovated.
Yeah.
Do you ever think that you're going to expand to other states?
Oh man. I'm working on saying grace over everything we got right now. So what we are glad to see is we have some folks in some other states who are looking and going, you know what? Wow. You know, this is really cool. What can I take from here and take back home? And that's really our hope, is that people start going, I want to change my culture too. How can I do that? Well, it's like, come and spend some time with us and then practice some things and then go back and see what you can do. And, you know, we try to help you if we can.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, like up in Massachusetts, they have an amazing program with the group up there that's a nonprofit, which is Family Services for Cape Cod and the Islands. And they're doing some amazing work. And I do a conference with them about every year virtually. Yeah. And so it's like we're trying to do this outreach, whether it's England, Wales, whether it's Australia, right now we have a friend we're working with in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia.
Wow.
I know. It's just like every time you turn around, there's somebody new who's going, oh, I have an idea. Mm-hmm. Linda, just like you go, I've got an idea. It's like, uh-oh. Okay, well, let's
where's
talk.
Where's your pen, Curry? He got an idea. And his pen is, you don't have your pen. Where is it?
You all went on a trip here just recently. And Matthew was able to go with y'all. Where was that?
Yeah, well, I'm trying to think because we've been on many. Matthew actually went to England with us.
Yeah.
Yep, we were over in the UK, and Matthew and Abby and I did multiple programs in England, and like really did a champion course that involved people from many parts of the world, and we did a certification course, and we were in Wales where we did a program there with folks. We had over 100 people sign up and come in to work on skills, and they hadn't been able to get together. This is the first time they'd gotten together since COVID. And so it was super exciting for them too, to be able to come together and learn together. And so, we go where we're called, kind of.
That's great.
On the overseas, since we're talking about that, have you been to the Dementia Village in Amsterdam?
So people from the Dementia Village came to a program we did in England, and then Shelley, one of our team, was able to go over. We've talked with them, we've spent time with them, and we've had conversations. I haven't had a chance. I was supposed to go last year. There was going to be a conference in Amsterdam, and then I was going to go over. And then due to outbreak of COVID, they canceled the conference, so we were off again. So it's coming up soon. We'll have to see when everybody's well, I think is the name of the game.
If anybody doesn't know about it, there is there was a woman in Amsterdam. I believe one of her parents had Alzheimer's, and she literally created a dementia village. There's a YouTube video on it. Where it's, you know, when dementia patients get to the point where they don't recognize people, they made this village. I'm just going to say, for example, if they were teenagers in the 60s, you know, like there's a 60s theme, and it's just all about where they can go to they're kind of confined in this little city. Basically, a little village. It was a village where they're all confined in there. They can't leave that village. But in that village are shops for them to go get their hair done, and they can go food shopping where they don't have to worry about money.
Go
they
just a cafe, sit in the cafe.
Yeah, it's pretty.
Get a beer. I mean, if they want a beer, they can get a beer.
It's so needed here in the States. I mean, it's just such an amazing. And I wanted to try to stop in, but you have to pretty hefty to take a tour. I think it's like $500 or something, which I can understand. Like, everybody wants to see what it is and replicate it. We so need something like, get on that, Tipa. I'll help you, but get on that.
We did work with them, and we are, and there are some places here in the States that are working on that concept. And so they're looking at how they can create that space. And we said, we'll go one better. We're just going to train the town so people can stay in town. They don't need to go create a whole special village. We'll just have the town be able to handle it. So somebody's wife and, you know, like everybody's trained. That's our guys. We want to even go one step further, which is like, you don't need to isolate people. Let's just keep them in town and make everybody skilled.
Yeah. Yeah. That would be great for sure. Because as a caregiver, it got where, like, for instance, going through the airport, you know, and how they want to rush you through, you know, take your clothes off, take your belt and your shoes and blah, blah, blah. And I would try to be several steps ahead of Jim and lean in and say, listen, my husband, you can't, you know, be patient. And there's times where they just would ignore it, and the mama bear and me came out, and it's like, I'd have to tell them you can't rush him like that. You know, just talk to you, and then I would find a supervisor and, you know, try to educate them how they got to educate. You know, if you see.
And so, Linda, one of the things we did this last year is we created. There's a group that we worked with called the Sunflower Project, which is for hidden disabilities and with lanyards and pins, and for care partners as well as the person. And we created videos. Of that stuff, and worked on the airports that wanted to become dementia or Sunflower certified. There are now little videos, and we did it with one of our friends, John Richard, out of Virginia, who lives with Lewy body dementia, he came and role played with me. And often he played the son to my person who lived with Alzheimer's, and then he would live with Lewy body. We would take turns, and he would, and people would go, "Which of you has dementia?" And we'd go, "He does."
Yeah.
And they'd say, "And I don't, as far as we know, but I do real, real good role plays." And they go, "Actually, I think you're the one with dementia. I think he's." That's not accurate.
we've talked about that. Sunflower program before. Yeah. And oh my gosh, this just went right in and out of my head again. Like, who, we have these conversations in Zoom. I'll say, "What was the name of?" And Curry be like, "Blah, blah, blah." I'm like, "Hey, wait a minute. You're the one with dementia. What, what was I just thinking?" We had someone on, I don't know if we had him on the podcast to share this, but in a support group, someone went to a concert recently and they went and they have all these, like, this packet they give them with a card to hang, to, you know, something around the neck, a card to hold up if you need certain things, earplugs. And it's in my binder in the other room. I wrote it down, but I'm just saying this for those listening. Yeah. Just call up, like, events or, you know, the airport. There are things that are happening for people with disabilities, not, you know, and specifically dementia people.
But it's a start.
It's a start
to get the awareness out there. And the bad news is TSA doesn't have to take any workshops. Other groups you can encourage to take workshops. TSA is a federal group and they fit under a different mandate. So we're still working on it, but it's a little frustrating because, you know, this, you know, like security, and it's like, yeah, but with absolute power comes absolute responsibility. And what I'm asking you to do is take responsibility for your behavior around people who have disabilities, like dementia.
Especially you look, like my husband, looking at him, he didn't look like he had dementia. Yeah. Like, there's no look. Like, that's the, you know,
it's
versus
just that look that you get when you're like, "I have no idea what this guy just asked me to do." He's going to get ticked. I know he is. And now my brain's shutting down and I don't know what to do now. I don't know what you want me to do. And then they start yelling.
Yeah.
Take off your belt. Take off your belt.
I mean, this, I'll just share with an incident that happened with Jim at the airport, which they, you know, you go up there and I had his passport, his boarding ticket on this phone, and Jim didn't have his phone out, and he went ahead of me at this time. This was pretty early in the diagnosis, and the guy was like face down, you know, because he wanted him to put his ticket face down, but he didn't say put your phone face down. My husband literally put his face down, and we were like, "What?" That was my first like big eye-opening, like, it was concrete. Just, and
super
he was
concrete.
So mortified. He was so embarrassed of that because
he couldn't figure that out, what the guy meant.
Right. And it was,
when you take the step back and your brain reconnects and it's like, oh crap.
And we laughed afterwards. We really laughed afterwards because he was like, we're like, that was, because we thought he was being funny doing it. And he was, I could tell when he stood back up and the guy's like, "No, your phone." Like the way he responded to Jim, and I was like, "Oh, I mean, we had a good chuckle about it afterwards, but
it hurts."
Yeah. Those moments hurt. There's no look to somebody with a disability, especially with dementia. Anyway, Curry, you want to? Because we've been talking a while, and I'm worried about you've been sitting a while. Yeah. So,
David, we can't thank you enough for coming on and sharing with us again. We've come a long way since we started this podcast and hope that we've provided needed educational support for those listening. We're at almost 50,000 downloads in 84 countries we're in now, which is just way more than, I mean, I didn't think the podcast would do anything. I mean, I didn't even know
our
podcast was.
Hey, mister.
You know me, I'm with you, Curry. That pessimism, that healthy pessimism keeps us safe. Yeah. You know? Yeah. She's got that optimistic thing. I'm sort of over there with, you know, if it goes nowhere, we tried.
You know what? I didn't expect it to do this. I always say it's amazing yet sad at the same time that so many people are listening. Like we had no idea where this was going to go, but I'm appreciative that at least I'm hoping we're helping people.
Yeah. I think we're in 84 countries now, which is really amazing, but we all need to keep sharing our stories to help others. We're nearing our time for today, Tipa. Do you want to share any final comments with our listeners?
Well, what I'd like to say is if you're new, dig in. If you've been around for a while, but you're facing challenges, come on in and sort of get curious. And if you've been doing this a really long time, be willing to share. Because whatever you've experienced, whatever has happened, whether you're a person living with, a family member, a professional, when we come together and we're willing to learn with one another and from one another, I think it makes the world so much more whole. And one of the things we need is a whole world that really gets this thing that we call dementia and how to support brain change so that we quit seeing it as this awful, awful, awful thing that you hope you never get. And yet the reality is many of us are going to experience it. So let's quit dreading it quite so much and let's get curious about what it could look like and how you're going to live with it if you got it, because you got to figure it out, because otherwise it could just destroy you. And I don't see any point in doing that.
Yeah, that's a good point.
You know, I encourage any of our listeners, please go to tipasnow.com and get involved with Tipa. Watch the morning shows with her and Matthew. Watch the live at 5. I mean, you'll learn so much. You really will. And they're just a great group of people. Tipa, we can't thank you enough for coming
and
sharing with
us. Mutual admiration. So thank you all for what you do.
You do know you got to send them some Reese's now, right?
I know.
He likes the smaller ones. No.
Yeah.
Oh, you like the Christmas ones the best because they're more
like
peanut butter.
The
little trees. Did you like the tree? Yeah. How about the footballs? Did you like the footballs in the fall?
I didn't get any of those.
Oh, you didn't get those? Oh, Walmart had those. Oh, my.
Really?
He'll eat any Reese's.
Do you like the white chocolate ones that were the trees? That was. Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Oh, that was sort of a surprise. It was like, That wasn't what I thought was
going to
be in there.
I'm not
eating those. They were. I'll do any Reese's. It doesn't matter what kind they are.
That's what I said. It doesn't matter. Send them.
Yeah.
Send them half-eaten ones. He'll eat it still.
Well, now here's the question before we finish. Can you smell the peanut butter?
No.
Okay. I was just curious because none of my friends with Louie Body can smell peanut butter.
Yeah. No.
Interesting.
Sure can't.
I haven't run across anybody yet who can smell peanut butter. So I'm curious. They will all of a sudden say, oh, I smell peanut butter. It's like.
Yeah. Hallucination.
Yeah.
Anyway, thank you. I want to thank you again, Tipa,
for
coming on. And I'm glad we had some laughs today because Curry, everyone that's listened to last week's episode, you could hear in your voice, Curry, how worn down you were from not getting sleep for so long. And I will say, recording the podcast, I think, helped knock him out.
It did. It really did. It always does. Yeah.
So I'm thankful that he did finally crash. How many hours were you up before you hit sleep?
39.
Yeah.
I'll and be someone, doing that on my way to Australia.
Have fun with that.
Right.
All right, Curry.
Okay, folks, that's all we have time for this week. Remember, you can email us with suggestions on what you would like to hear us to discuss on the feature episodes or ask any questions you have, and we'll sure do our best to get you the right answers.
And remember that we post the link to the podcast on both the Louie Body Roller Coaster podcast Facebook page and our journey. And if you're interested in helping as an advocate, please send us an email at louiebodyrollercoaster@gmail.com. The more people who reach out, the more people we can help.
Okay, folks. Thanks again for joining us. Tipa, thank you again.
My pleasure.
Until next week, this is Linda.
And Curry, signing off.